3 o'clock growl. So last night, the Dodgers didn't do it. Last night was not our night. We got hammered by the Braves down in Texas, and unfortunately, we are now down 3-1 in this series. We do have game number 5 coming up for you tonight, 6 o'clock here on 710 ESPN. The Dodgers need to bring that patient plate approach to that game, and they need to get 4 or 5 solid innings from Dustin May before he hands it off to a bullpen that is hopefully better tonight than it was last night. Momo, I think tonight's a winnable game.
Oh, definitely. And look, they need to have the energy that you usually have on a Friday.
Yes.
You need to have, you got your sounder. I don't want to say it.
What sounder? What are you talking about?
What is it usually like? What's it like on a Friday?
Oh, it's F It Friday.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. We haven't done F It Friday in middays. Yeah, it's F It Friday.
That's what you got to feel right now. Look, today could be the last day of the Dodger season. This could be the end. Tonight could be all over. Go home, see you again in, I don't know, March, February, whatever we're going to end up.
Whenever it's going to be.
Okay. Yeah. This could be it. And you got to have an attitude. You got to have F It Friday, man. You got to just, you can't.
Well, you're down 3-1. F it. Nobody's expecting you to win. So go ahead and do it.
You know who's been great at that this year? Who's been great at that right now? The freaking Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa. Everybody hates them. Everybody wants them to lose. Everybody's celebrating when they went down
3-0.
Guess what Correa did yesterday?
Yeah, I know. I saw. Walk
game-winning home run. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what that is? Toughness.
Toughness.
Toughness. When everyone wants you to lose, and he really should say he's sorry, okay? You need to stop saying that they didn't do anything wrong. But you know what? He's dug in. He's saying, I'm setting the tone for this team. We're not going to be defined by this, and we're going to prove everybody that we can do it without the trash cans.
And they'll lose the series in 6, Momo.
Still, they're coming back from 3-0. They probably could have just rolled over.
Okay. I want to talk to the people, Momo. Let's go to Miguel in Los Angeles. Miguel, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Yeah, hi, guys, and I'm glad you're there, Momo. Shame on you.
Thanks.
I'm going to point out 3 points on Dave Roberts. One, a manager should never put a player in a position to fail, hence never let Kershaw even start the 6th, and same thing last year. Two, have the manager know to push the right buttons in the bullpen, Bruce Bochy or Mike Socha. Three, know if you're not hitting the long ball, play small ball. Again, Mike Socha, Bruce Bochy. And my neighbor, who's a season ticket holder, says if Dodger management allows Dave Roberts to come back, they'll give back their tickets. And Momo, will Dave Roberts go down as the worst manager in postseason history? And will they allow him to board the plane or fire him?
Oh, come on. What are you talking about? Miguel. Yeah, I know your neighbor is a season ticket holder. He's going to give the tickets back if Dave Roberts is still the manager. Thank you for the call.
What about you? I know what your neighbor thinks. What do you think?
Okay, I get it. Okay, Miguel, thank you. Worst manager in the history of the postseason.
Yeah, okay.
Dave Roberts will be the manager next year, no matter what happens. He is a perfect collaborator for Andrew Friedman. I think that Soch has been a great manager, and I think a Hall of Fame caliber manager. I don't think he's coming back to manage the Dodgers. I don't know that he necessarily. Soch wants to be in a front office. Wants to be a manager for a team that is so front office driven. That's what I meant to say. I don't think that's Soch, and I don't think that's Bochy either. And I don't think Bochy's ever coming out of retirement. He's going straight to Cooperstown. But to blame this on Dave Roberts, point out the thing last night.
There you go. The thing
last night that Dave Roberts did that made you crazy. Let's go to Sailor in Los Angeles. Sailor, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up? Sailor's gone. Let's go to Kyle in LA. Kyle, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mason. I mean, fundamental baseball is always the key. The analytics are illustrating the long ball works. However, the long ball works throughout a 162-game season. It's just like basketball, just like the NFL, when it comes to the postseason, you need to shift. You need to change your approach. This huge field is huge. We're going for the home run. I don't know why you were so amazed the other day. We got the 11 runs in the first inning, but after the third inning, we didn't score anything. We should have beat up that bullpen. We let one guy throw five innings that game. Their bullpen didn't get touched. They're showing us up. And the one thing that Doc Roberts should have done, and this was in game two, we have a miraculous comeback. We got Bellinger on third, and the defense is giving you a bunt. The infielders are on the back.
Yeah, I've heard this.
The batter has to get it past the pitcher, and any baseball player should be able to do that.
Yeah, I hear you, and I understand that it's a cool and nifty play that used to happen, but I can't remember the last time I saw a suicide squeeze or a safety squeeze. It just doesn't happen anymore. Managers have gotten away from it. Front offices have gotten away from it. I just don't think it's something that we're going to see, but appreciate the phone call. Thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, you don't see that anymore, Momo. You don't see.
No, I don't think they need to go squeeze or bunt or anything like that. But
he's talking about the game. You know which game? Sure. The tying run was at third base and Cody Bellinger. Two outs. What do you do?
you let your best hitter hit.
Let him hit.
Yeah, look. At some point, I know when the Dodgers lost in the World Series, I had a conversation with somebody.
Which time?
I know. God, the first one. Okay.
Okay.
I had a conversation with one of their executives, and it was sad, right? It was like, you know, they were looking, this is before we knew the Astros cheated. But, you know, as much as everyone was disappointed, and as much as I was like, you Darvish, right?
Yep.
They were like, look, our best players didn't get it done. And at the end of the day, when you want to win a World Series, you got to have your best pitcher and your best closer and your best hitter get it done. And they didn't. And it's been the same story every year.
Yeah, and in
Walker
the end,
Buehler, Clayton Kershaw supposed to be their best pitchers, not getting it done. Kenley Jansen supposed to be the closer, not getting it done. You know, Cody Bellinger's had a couple of hits better than he did in that Houston series, okay? But not getting it done. Mookie Betts, not getting it done. That's what it is. That's what's happening.
All right, so we've got a clip from our friend Jerry Hairston Jr. from Sportsnet LA last night talking about what he thinks went wrong with the Dodgers last night.
We haven't really pitched well as a staff, but you cannot put this all on Clayton Kershaw. Listen, it was a 1-1 game going into the sixth inning. We're facing a rookie on the mound. Okay, we made him look like Cy Young. Now, he pitched a good ball game. We had opportunities in the strike zone. We just didn't give Clayton Kershaw runs. A lot of balls pop up in the air. And you saw the Braves, who are a better hitting team than we were. Okay, they hit around 270 as a team this year. We hit around, 255. So, again, you have to take the approach. You can't rely on that long ball all the time. You have to work the count sometimes. But you also hit line drives, too. Keep the line moving. I was very disappointed that we didn't put the pressure on this young rookie and get 3 or 4 or 5 runs to give Clayton Kershaw a lead. And again, 1-1 going in the sixth, and then after, I think the Ozuna home run, and then obviously they put it on us a little bit after that, but really disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't execute. They, you know, in the way they came out with a great game plan on Kyle Wright in game 3, they did not come out with a good game plan for this rookie last night. I mean, they were just hacking away. They weren't working deep into counts. The guy threw only 60-something pitches in 6 innings. He was like averaging 10 pitches an inning. What happened to the Dodgers in that patience? What happened to the Dodgers in that drive to get pitch counts up? It didn't happen at all last night.
No. And like, I kind of wanted to scream some of those times. I'm like, stop trying to hit home runs every time.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to jack the ball out of the yard. That's what happened against Boston. That's what in that series. That's what happens against Washington. And how did the Braves score last night? Like, I know there was the first Ozuna home run, but when they broke the game open, it wasn't home runs.
It was
just singles, doubles, hard line drives, ground balls.
Well, and Momo, this
manufacturing runs.
This isn't hard. They just did it the day before.
I know.
They just did it the day before, and all of a sudden the approach seemed to go out the window. Let's go to Curtis and Ventura. Curtis, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Yeah, hello. The guy that called just before that kind of took my point about Andrew Friedman and the way that he's the way that he's built the team, because it's exactly like he was saying. Over 162 game season, yes, we're gonna hit a lot of home runs. We're gonna punish the D-backs 3, 4, 5 pitchers all year long in the week NL West. But when it comes to the playoffs, you're facing the number one guy every night and all the best guys in the bullpen, and it doesn't work out with the way that the team's built. Jock Peterson, Muncy, Kike, all these guys hitting 200. When we got rid of, like, Puig, who's like a 260, 270 hitter and can
Well, Puig, I don't even know if Puig has a job. Does he?
No, I don't think the Braves signed him, and then he got COVID, and then
Then he got COVID, and I haven't seen him since. But yeah. I know you're fixated on batting average, and I understand that. But I don't think batting average is the way we measure players anymore. We measure them by OBP, OPB. We measure them on slugging. We measure them on power. What we saw the night before wasn't them hitting. They did hit a bunch of home runs, but they also hit a bunch of. They hit the ball hard. That's what the Dodgers need to do. They need to. Yeah. They need to hit the ball hard, and it will eventually fall. But you're right. They are a very home run reliant team, and I think that's part of what's catching up to them right now. Thank you very much for the phone call, man. Thank you. Yeah, I think we just have to recognize that this is Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
This is Clayton Kershaw. This is a guy who has the guy who's thrown 100 or more innings in postseason baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Among all them, he's got the highest earned run average. The numbers are just the numbers. I mean, get this one. Explain this number to me. So Kershaw has got a regular season ERA of 2.43 career. Fantastic. Awesome. Wild card and divisional series, he's got a 3.68 ERA.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you can probably live with that. You'd like it to be better, but you could probably live with that. NLCS, he's got a 4.84 career ERA. Again, higher leverage games, higher earned run average. And finally, World Series, 5.40 ERA.
Ooh.
In the World Series. Literally, I've never seen it spelled out in such clear terms, in numbers, in mathematics, that Kershaw, the more high leverage the game, the less effective he's going to be. The numbers bear it out, and last night was another example of it, and it's indefensible. It just is.
You know what it is, though, Mace? It's that we want him to finally get over it. That's why it hurts.
Right.
And it's also because we've seen guys in other sports who've had this similar type curse. John Elway.
Yes.
Peyton Manning.
Yep.
At the end of their careers, they finally win. And I just, you know, the Braves pitchers, okay? Greg Maddux and Glavine and Smoltz, they went through so many of those
years.
Won
once.
Yeah, and only won once, but they did it. They finally did win.
Right.
The one year, they finally did it. And so I think we all just keep thinking, the man is so great. He has actually had some really good postseason starts.
Yes.
Game one against the Astros, he was great.
Oh yeah, he's had some great performances. Great performances.
Yeah, no hitter.
But when you add it up, the bigger the game, the smaller the pitcher.
Right.
The bigger the game, the less Kershaw we get. I'll tell you who we do get today.
Who?
We get our old friend Dave Joseph, who's going to do some traffic for us. Dave, what's going on, man?
Mason, Momo, what's happening? It's good to hear you guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you, man. You following the Dodgers here? What do you think?
Of course, I'm watching every night. It's a train wreck. It's a train wreck inside of a dumpster fire.
Yeah. And you're about to do the best story. You're going to do the car wrecks, you know? Wow.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
So it must be better on the roads than it is with the Dodgers, right?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It's Friday, and normally we're like, ooh, it's Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, got the week. You know what? We got the Dodgers on the ropes right now. We got
it's
the Dodgers
Friday.
On the ropes.
Yeah.
Say that one more time.
It's Friday.
That's right.
That's how you got to play today.
And that's the way the Dodgers need to approach it. Just F it. Nobody expects you to win the series now. Just go out there, let it rip.
You guys are losers. You guys are losers.
Who are you talking to?
No, that's what I'm saying. The whole world is saying you guys are chokers.
Oh,
you're losers.
Yeah.
This is the Dodgers. You should just, you know, they're laughing at you now. So you just got to take that mentality that you're going to prove everybody wrong. You're going to let it rip, and it's Epic Friday.
You know, this is going to sound like very homery.
Yeah.
And very like, oh, you're just thinking with your heart. People, yeah. You know, that is my.
That's okay.
I lead with my heart on this show. Like, I tell you what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. And I am feeling like the Dodgers win tonight.
Mm.
And then the big thing is going to be tomorrow, getting through Max Fried. If you can win tonight, you get a chance to get at Max Fried tomorrow for the second time to potentially force a Game 7 on Sunday. It is weird that the series is going so fast, isn't it?
It's stupid.
It's just day.
I mean, it's just, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think it's real baseball because there needs to be like a day off here and there so that people can pitch their best guys all the time and not just, you know,
correct,
whatever 38th man on the roster.
Exactly. Momo, I want to play something for you. Do you have do you have that music, Jorge? Do you know what instrument this is?
It's an accordion.
You know who plays the accordion?
Who?
John Smoltz.
What?
John Smoltz plays the accordion.
Whoa.
Yes, he does.
That's the most random thing ever.
100% proven fact. John Smoltz plays the accordion, which I think is so awesome. My mom played the accordion. She said all the good little Italian girls learned the accordion when they
that
were
makes
young.
Sense. Yeah, it was like Cold Winters and Valtuna.
But how random is it that John Smoltz plays the accordion?
That's so random.
You know, there's something weird about this. Thanks, Rory. Thanks for that.
Yeah,
do you
like
play
that.
Any instruments, Momo?
No, I don't have the patience.
Yeah, I wish I could.
I tried to do piano
things.
Lessons, and I was like really so impatient.
I wish I did.
Yeah.
You know, I've grown to really like, and I didn't always, Joe Buck.
Yeah.
You know, he came on the show during the pandemic when everything was shut down, and he's doing a podcast with Oliver Hudson, who would be Kate Hudson's sister, really funny guy in his own right. And Joe came on and did about a half hour with us and was like the coolest, jokiest, most fun guy we had on the
show.
So like from now, changed my opinion of Joe Buck forever. I hear Joe Buck.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, that's Joe. I like Joe. And Smoltz, I strongly believe, is a Braves fan still. And I think if the Dodgers were to win the series, he would fling himself from the press box. That's my belief. Other people may disagree, but that's my opinion of it. And I wanted to make another point, Momo.
Yeah.
Another random point. What do you have against Saturday Night Live? I watch Saturday Night Live every single week from beginning to end, and you're saying you just DVR'd and watched certain parts of it?
Yeah, I only like the political stuff.
Oh, I love SNL. I love the goofy stuff. I love the goofy stuff. And I love the fact that they've been using stand-up comics as their, like, I think it was it Bill Burr on Saturday night?
Yeah, he was good.
He was good.
You know what, the other one I like the Jeopardy.
Jeopardy's very funny.
That's really funny.
Yeah, you're sleeping on Saturday Night Live, though. I mean, it's been in our life for 45 years for a reason. All right, so.
Oh, and I like anything Kate McKinnon. I'm like major fangirl, my favorite actress.
Yeah.
I think she should host everything.
You know, she's playing Carol Baskin in a miniseries about Tiger King.
I love her in everything. Like I used to have like fangirl crush on Connie Britton. Okay.
Connie Britton's great.
Oh, I love Connie Britton. Now my allegiances have shifted. I still love Connie, but my allegiances have shifted to Kate McKinnon. I think she is like the greatest at everything.
Yeah, she's so funny. She's
so funny. And I think she has range. Like, I think she can play anything.
I do too. All right. We're trying to change the subject a little bit, you know, just goof around a little bit. But I know what you guys are thinking about right now. Thinking about tonight. Thinking about last night. Thinking about what happened with Clayton Kershaw.
Come on, Grinshaw.
Jorge's dad.
Thinking, so good.
Thinking so about good. Dave Roberts and what he could have done, might have done different. thinking about the way Dodger hitters approached their at-bats last night, thinking about all that stuff. And we're going to let you vent about that right now. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. It's unbelievable on Twitter, the number of people who say Dave Roberts must go.
Yeah.
That is first of all, it's not going to happen.
No.
I've heard Sosha's name mentioned twice on the show. I love Sosha, but I don't think he's going to be the manager of the Dodgers. I think Dave Roberts has an excellent relationship with Andrew Friedman, and that is the most important thing. I heard somebody call him Andrew Fraudman. I mean, seriously?
Stop.
We are in position. We are in the NLCS. We are in the playoffs every single year. Mm-hmm. We've got a great young team that is going to be good for many years to come. He spent $400 million on Mookie Betts. What do you want? What do you want? Sometimes players just got to play. And last night they didn't. Clayton Kershaw didn't deliver. Mookie Betts didn't deliver. The $400 million man didn't get there. Didn't do it. You need guys to perform. And they didn't last night. 877-710-ESPN. I am frustrated. I'm somewhere between really, really sad and really, really frustrated and really, really angry. Those are my three prevailing feelings today.
And none of those feelings are going to help you win. You know which feeling is going to help you win?
What?
F it Friday.
F it Friday. All right, we'll hear from you guys next. Mason in Ireland, Momo's in for John. We got Game of Games coming up. It's my game today. That's in about 15 minutes. And then we got George and LZ for some crosstalk as they get ready for Dodgers Braves game number five, critical game number five elimination game. You'll hear it right here tonight, 6 o'clock, right after George and LZ on 710 ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. You know, Jorge, who operates the board for us, is sort of the heart and soul, hold the show together guy. And you popped on during that commercial break, Jorge, and told me I'm being too much of a downer.
Yeah, man. Looking on Twitter and looking at all the Dodger fans and even some of these Dodger tweets, it's May Day, man, or Code Red today. Don't worry.
Yeah.
7-game series, Code Red today for the Dodgers.
There you go. Jorge has spoken. Code Red because it's Dustin May, and May Day because it's Dustin May. I like both of those. You know, I do think we're going to win tonight.
Yeah.
I do think we got this thing tonight. I love Dustin May, and they're throwing a bullpen game, and we're getting to see the relievers more and more. And the key to this weekend is going to be to work counts. If you get to tomorrow and you face Max Fried, you've got to make him work. You've got to get tough at-bats on him. You've got to make him throw pitches, and you got to get him out of the game. That's critical. That's one thing that we didn't see. We saw that with Kyle Anderson, the rookie who threw in game three. We didn't see that last night with this Bryce Wilson. They were not patient. They hacked away, and ultimately that was not a productive night at the plate at all. You can throw it all on Clayton Kershaw, and he did melt down in the sixth. But that batting lineup, those hitters need to execute.
Look, they had three hits last night in the whole game.
Yeah.
Three hits.
Let's go to Patricia in North Hollywood. In NoHo, Patricia, how you doing?
Well, I actually never thought that they were going to win this.
Really?
As somebody who's been a Brooklyn fan all those years, but one of the things that's missing is Kenta Maeda. He was terrific and I understand he wasn't happy here and it wasn't what he wanted to do, but that was a big factor. They could have used someone like him in the last couple days.
Patricia, I think you make a really, really good point. Kenta Maeda was unbelievably valuable to them the last few years when they moved him from the starting rotation to the back of the bullpen. He was your seventh inning guy, sometimes your eighth inning guy, and he was really effective. You're absolutely right, Patricia.
Yeah.
How long have you been a Dodger fan?
Since Brooklyn days. I went to Sandy Koufax's first no-hitter.
You were at Sandy Koufax's first no-hitter?
I was.
What was that like?
I didn't even realize it. There were a lot of walks in that game, and I wasn't keeping track, but I was there by myself. I was just had a baby, wanted to get away for the night, and he was always my favorite, and he still is.
Wow. Yeah.
Right,
hey, Patricia, thank you very much for the phone call. It's nice to meet you.
Okay, thank you.
Wow, she saw Sandy Koufax pitch.
That was adorable. I love true baseball fans. Like she's like, I just had a baby and I needed to get away, so I just went to a baseball game by myself. I so relate to that. I so totally relate to that. That's great.
Let's go back on the phone. Let's go to I'm trying to see here. Johnny in Oxnard. Johnny, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, man.
Hey, just on Dave Roberts, you know, I think he's doing a phenomenal job. He's a great coach. I don't know who would replace him. Just like you said, I love Socha as well. But the one thing I need to know is I've always seen this in the postseason from Dave Roberts. We got to cut the strings from the puppet master, because it doesn't seem like it's him calling the shots in these post games. And I know he wants to give the pitcher the hook half the time, but I just know he has to keep him in there for whatever reason. He keeps looking in that little journal, and he's penciling and writing stuff down and checking scenarios, and it's driving me nuts. It's been driving me nuts the past few years.
Thank you very much for the phone call. Yes, he does look at his journal a lot. I think that's the game plan that he and Andrew Friedman and all the smart guys at the Dodgers come up with. Although, let me ask you this, Momo. Last night, sixth inning, Clayton Kershaw gives up the infield single to Acuña, and he winds up on second after an error. He leaves him in to face Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman doubles. Then he leaves him in to face Marcelo Ozuna. Now, do you think that was a Dave Roberts hunch call, or is that something that the front office wanted to see, that matchup?
No, I think it was a hunch call, because his post-game comments, he said, you know, he got a soft ground ball from Acuña. Yep. And then he got a ground ball from Freeman that was a single turned into a double. So he didn't believe that those two hits that we're talking about were troubling signs. Like, he thought, oh, bad luck. Bad luck. That infield single, bad luck. Single should have been turned into a double. Bad luck. So he wasn't like, ooh, Kershaw's losing it. He thought Kershaw still had it.
Come on, Crenshaw.
Come on, Crenshaw. Jorge's dad is the best.
The best.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you something completely random and completely off the topic.
Yeah.
So Bleacher Report has been writing, and I don't know if you know anything specific about this, but I'll just tell you.
All right.
That LeBron could orchestrate a Chris Paul trade to the Lakers.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. He's LeBron.
Do you think that is a possibility?
Possibility, sure. Likely, no. I don't think LeBron needs a point guard as controlling as Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I think that they have had many opportunities to play together over the years.
Yep.
Same way LeBron and Melo have had opportunities. And if LeBron wanted that to happen, I think it would have.
You think if he wanted Chris Paul, they'd have him?
Yeah, I think he would have had him right now. There is a scenario, and I think this is – okay, when you say possibilities, you want me to play Fantasyland GM?
Let me play – here, let me just give you the Fantasyland GM. This is what Eric Pincus wrote. He said, if you traded Kuzma, Danny Green, JaVale McGee, Quinn Cook, Avery Bradley, and a first-round pick, that the numbers would match for Chris Paul.
Yeah, okay. And Oklahoma City doesn't hate that, because
– they're getting Danny out from Green, under the big number.
They're getting out from under the big number. They get a couple of young players they would like. They probably would like Kuzma. They probably would like that draft pick. They love draft picks.
Yeah, they do.
The other option, I think this is the more likely way you do it.
Okay.
Is you sign and trade KCP. And you sign him to a bigger number. And Oklahoma City's always liked KCP. I know they've had interest in him in the past. But the thing is, I don't know why Oklahoma City would do something for KCP, because it doesn't fit what they're trying to do. Like, he's a veteran, so why would you assign and trade for a guy who's a veteran on a – what you're really trying to do is build a young team around Shea Gilgeous Alexander and some of their younger players that, you know, Dort, you know, and Dort, right? Like, you're trying to – and all those draft picks that the Clippers gave, they're trying to build a young team that's going to win 6 years from now. So Kuzma would fit that, because he's what, 25 or something?
26.
Yeah, 26. Okay, so that fits. But I don't think the easier trade, which is sign and trade KCP, fits what they're trying to accomplish. And I also think there's teams that, like, I would say Milwaukee or Philadelphia, who need Chris Paul more.
Yeah, Milwaukee could really use Chris Paul. That's a completely different team with Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think that's more about Chris would probably like to play for the Lakers. He wanted to play for the Lakers before. You know who really needs Chris Paul? The Clippers.
Oh, I don't think that bridge is getting rebuilt.
Oh, I could see it.
Oh, really? You can see it?
Well, Doc's not there anymore, right?
It's true.
And I know there's probably – they actually patched things up. I think they're fine now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they did. Chris called Doc to speak to the players while they were in the bubble. They did that Quibi Doc together. They're all good. I think there might be a little fence mending when it comes to Ballmer. But, you know, so much has passed. And what the Clippers really need is a point guard. They don't have a point guard.
Love to talk about the Clippers all day, but let me ask you about KCP and Rondo. They both opted out. Do you think they'll be back?
Oof. I think KCP will be back. I think that they will. I think he's this year's Tristan Thompson, right?
Right, right.
You know, J.R. Smith, who got a nice deal.
Look, he was unbelievably important to this run. I mean, he was one of the best three-point shooters, if not the best three-point shooter we had in the playoffs. He was fantastic and
an excellent
defender.
Yeah, and I think Rondo, I think they would like him back. I think he would like to come back. He's due for a little raise. But I think the Lakers need to keep a little flexibility because if there's going to be any trades, like if the Lakers are going to make any big moves, the guys I think you would look to move would be Danny Green and or Avery Bradley.
Right.
So if, like, let's say they go after Bradley Beal. Let's say they go after Oladipo. Let's say they go after, you know, whoever. Name a trade candidate.
Yes.
The Danny Green contract is movable. The Avery Bradley contract is movable.
Is movable, yeah.
And I think Rondo has to probably sit and wait to find out what they do. Do they upgrade at point guard elsewhere? Do they trade for another really good shooting guard? Like, I think he's just going to be kind of sitting.
Let me ask you just real quick the dates. Yeah. So is the draft set, and when is the free agency period?
Yeah.
We don't know when the season's going to start. Is any of this stuff laid out?
Yeah, I think the draft is set now, isn't it? I think I read Woj a little while ago. It's finally set. I know teams are interviewing prospects so that, you know, the GMs I call are, they're all flying to go see the draft prospects right now. And then free agencies after that, they haven't agreed on a new, they both sides stayed within the current CBA. They extended the deadline until October 30th, which means, you know, there was a doomsday scenario where the league or the players opted out of the CBA this summer. Like, pandemic's messing up our whole business plan. We're going to opt out and do a whole new one. So what they're doing now is extending that. I just had a call about this earlier. I think that's going to get done sooner rather than later. I think we'll know in the next week or two what the financial situation, what the salary cap's going to be. Everybody wants to know, what's the cap going to do? Because obviously they didn't make money. So
what is the cap going to do?
It's probably going to stay. Everyone's solution is the favored solution seems to be keep it where it was supposed to be. Don't all of a sudden drop it because we lost money on the pandemic. Because it's not fair to teams that were counting on having space this summer, or not summer, but
off-season. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
Keep it sort of artificially inflated, but it doesn't go up either. The big question is going to be the following year, okay? And that is where I think the issue of fans next year is vitally important. Because you can sort of artificially keep it at like 109 or whatever it is right now. You can artificially keep it there, and it's okay. Everybody will play along with that. But you can't do it 2, 3, 4 years in a row when the revenue is really not there.
Right, right. All right. By the way, the draft, I think, is officially set for November the 18th is the NBA draft. And then free agency, I assume, will be right after that, like it is in real life. Like it is in real life.
Yeah, I know.
Remember used to have real life?
IRL.
Exactly. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. I have got the game today. Momo, have you ever won a game on the show?
Once or twice, but I fell backwards into it.
This is quite a winnable game for you. It'll be Momo versus Lindsay versus Jorge next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah. Game of Games time. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, the scorecard so far in the month of October. Ireland 5, Lindsay 3, Mason 3, Jorge 3. Wow. We got us a race this month. Jorge's on the board and killing it. Lindsay's on the board and killing it. I'm not terrible. But it is my game today. And the game is called Who Am I? Who am I?
All right. All right.
So I'm going to describe somebody, and once you know who it is, your name is your buzzer. Ring in with the right answer. And if you miss, you cannot ring in again.
Come on, Crenshaw.
All right, so Momo's playing, Lindsay's playing, Jorge's playing. Here is number one. He used to play for the New England Patriots. Now he's in Tampa.
George.
Lindsay.
Okay.
Momo.
George.
Momo.
Oh.
Tom Brady.
No, it is not.
Momo. Rob Gronkowski
is the right answer. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes. I'm on the
Momo
board.
Momo stole that one. Okay, here's a musical clue. I just called to
Lindsay.
Say
Momo.
Lindsay.
Damn. Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder's correct.
She's
yes,
fast.
Good
She's
job.
So fast.
Okay, here is another music one. Sing us a song. You're
Lindsay.
Momo. Lindsay.
Elton John.
No.
No, I mean Bill. Never mind.
No.
Second. No do-overs. Sing us a song. You're the piano man.
Momo.
Sing us, Momo.
Momo. Billy Joel
is correct. Yes, it's Momo 2. Lindsay 1. Jorge.
I knew that.
Conspicuously absent
totally
from the board.
Said the wrong word.
He was a running back for the Dallas Cowboys.
Momo. Emmitt Smith.
Oh, Momo
right?
jumps
is
in
right?
for the steal.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
This is exciting. Look, the Dodgers are going to win, you guys, because if Momo can win, the Dodgers can win. Let's go.
Oh, right. Lord. That's where we are now, huh?
Yep.
Momo 3, Lindsay 1,
yep.
Jorge nothing.
Oh,
there
man.
Are three more. He was a quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
Momo. Jake Delhomme.
No.
Lindsay.
Jake Delhomme.
He was
yes,
a quarterback
Lindsay.
For the Panthers.
Cam Newton.
I love that guess. Jake Delhomme got a shout out on the show today.
Good guess.
Jake Delhomme, congratulations. Your name has been mentioned for the first time ever on this show.
He was there a long time.
Okay. Momo 3, Lindsay 2, Jorge 1. There are two more.
Come on,
Lindsay, you're still in this.
All right. Okay.
Martin Sheen is his father.
Momo.
Jorge.
Momo.
Charlie Sheen.
No.
Oh, he's not?
Lindsay. Emilio Estevez.
Emilio Estevez is the right answer, and it's Lindsay 3, Momo 3.
How is he not Charlie Sheen's dad?
Well, it's not the person that he had written down, obviously, right?
Ugh. All right.
But wait, why did he change his name to Emilio Estevez?
No, his dad changed his name to Sheen. Martin Sheen's real name is Martin.
So the whole Sheen
Estevez.
Family are all actually
Esteves.
Wow,
that's yeah. crazy.
Yeah, they took on Sheen. All right, there's one more. It is between Momo and Lindsay.
Do you guys think I should keep trying to steal it, or should I wait for the second clue? What do you think?
I think you should do whatever.
All right.
Oh God. All right. This is the clue. It's a single clue. Momo,
all
Lindsay,
right.
heads
right.
up. He created Star Wars.
Lindsay. Momo.
I think
no,
Lindsay got
it.
There. Lindsay got there.
George
no,
Lucas.
I was first.
I'm sorry, Momo. My rulings are final. It was Lindsay,
was
and
so
she wins
first.
The game.
Play it back, George.
No, we're not going to play your silly game of playing it back.
Play that
I
back.
Made the
I
decision.
Said
I made
said
the decision.
Twice.
I have it. Hold on.
You have it? Oh,
listen
Jorge
to it.
Has
play
it.
Play it back.
Okay.
Play it back.
I hate David Roberts.
Hey, I said it twice. I'm telling you, if you play it back,
If you said it twice, that means you got it.
Yeah,
I said it, and then Lindsay said it, and then I said it again.
No. Let it go. Remember how we talked about let it go? It's effing Friday. You lost.
All right. I'll let it go.
Take the L.
I don't get to win much.
Take the L.
I hate Kershaw.
So last year, after Kershaw gave up those back-to-back home runs in Game 5 of the NLDS against the Nationals, we found this Instagram post with this little kid talking about the Dodgers, and he was very, very upset about it. Hit that, Jorge.
I hate David Roberts. I hate Kershaw.
Sounds like our callers today.
Sounds like line, Twitter.
Line one, go.
I hate David Roberts. I hate Kershaw.
Poor kid.
Oh, that poor guy. Gosh. That poor guy.
Oh, and I got tape. I got tape from who?
Let's hear it.
Stump.
Okay. We apparently have it.
Momo.
I think.
No, Lindsay.
Come on.
Momo. Momo.
See, I was before
Play it
you.
Again. Play the whole thing
Star
again.
Wars.
Momo. Momo.
Lindsay got there first.
No,
sorry,
yeah, definitely
Momo.
Got there first. You didn't hear the first Momo.
Yes, we did. We did.
Here
we
go. One more time.
Star Wars.
Momo. Momo.
Lindsay was there first.
God,
I'm sorry.
I was there first by a split second.
Maybe. Do you think it's a delay on my comment?
Here's what I think,
We
Momo.
Both have a delay.
Momo, at some point, you're just, you've got to take the L and move on with your life. It's just a stupid radio game. You're not even going to remember it in 10 minutes.
And then I heard Lindsay, and then I heard myself again.
Okay, good. Just take that and ruminate over that all you want. But while you're ruminating, we are going to do some crosstalk with George and LZ coming up next. Don't forget, we got the Dodgers for you tonight. It is now a must-win game number 5 as the Dodgers are down 3-1 after last night. We'll talk about that matchup with George and LZ coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, time for some crosstalk. George and LZ stepping in here. Momo's in for John. You asked me a question there, George.
Wait, where's the big Chris Morales open to Purgatory?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to it. There was a big open for Purgatory, and we lost it.
Where he takes a shot at you guys. He says that you fade.
We fade. Do we have that, Jorge? Don't we have that intro?
But they're very specific with the date and whatever.
He didn't make a new one today. He took a day off.
Hold on.
Today.
So let me tell you. I get an email that says, let's go with generic today, baby. I was like,
okay, let's go with generic. He must be golfing. He must be golfing.
Let's go with generic.
Yeah, generic always you know plays what he well, did? Doesn't it?
What he do? Looked at this and he said, you know what today is? It's F it Friday.
Friday. He did.
I'm done.
F it Friday. F-O-H. F-O-H.
So,
I asked you the question, Mace. I asked what? You. Are
yeah,
you,
you asked me. Are you am worried? I worried? And, yeah. George, I said it all along.
Panic alarm.
We've got them right where we want them.
What are you, the Denver Nuggets?
No. Look, it's going to be really uphill. You just got to win tonight. It's code red. It's May Day. That's what fans are saying.
Hold on. Ready? You ready? Code red, May Day. How about one pitch at a time? One inning at a time.
I like that.
Yeah.
One game at a time.
Yeah, one inning at a time.
Yeah. LZ, what did you think of last night?
My friends, there are moments in life in which you have to learn to let go and let God. There are moments in life in which you have to stay focused on the things you can control and not get consumed with the things you can't. And there are moments in life that curse words just can't, you know, capture exactly what you're feeling. I am so pissed off right now, Mace.
Yep.
I'm so pissed off. I didn't wear my Dodgers mask today. I wore all black.
Oh, wow. Just to reflect your mood.
To reflect my dark mood. Yes, George, my dark and sinister and cynical mood right now.
So whose fault is last night?
Oh, the blame game.
It's time to blame people.
Yeah.
And by the way, we recognize, and I still believe the Dodgers can come back and win this series. I love them tonight. Yeah. With Dustin May, I love him tonight against the bullpen game. Going to be tough to break through on Max Fried tomorrow, but I don't think they're completely dead. But what went wrong last night, LC?
Well, I think the number one thing is a lack of run support. I know people want to point the finger at Kershaw and trying to group this performance with things that we've seen in the past, whether it's with DC or, you know, Washington Nationals last year or St. Louis all those years. But I'm not blaming Kershaw. In fact, to me, Kershaw gets the least amount of blame.
The least amount of blame.
When I think about all the people that you can blame, between Andrew Friedman ignoring the fact that our pitching wasn't what we thought it needed to be.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. This is what I love. Let's go. Let's do a blame pie.
I mean, we got
the Mason Ireland stolen from the Kamenetsky brothers blame
pie. Never stolen. It was ours originally, and the Kamenetskys we sued.
But I mean, seriously, if you follow Twitter, Mason George, if you follow Twitter at least, and they're like, oh, you should have taken them out earlier. And I was like, and put who the F in?
Okay, right. but wait. But let's take it. I mean, you know, we get to do a talk. Let's take it one batter at a time.
Yeah.
So you send him out there for the sixth, and Acuna hits an infield single. Right. And winds up at second.
But before that, though, Mace, why do you think he sent him in the six?
Wait. I'll answer that. Because you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles.
Oh!
Boom!
Wow. Boom!
That was very clever. Very clever.
Go ahead, Mace. Now you can answer.
You know, I think...
There was no one he trusted. There was no one else he trusted.
Well, everybody wanted Brusdar Graterol the other day.
Yes.
That's who everybody wants.
And he got drilled.
You know what's weird about Brusdar Graterol? And it was pointed out by Boog Shambi a little bit earlier. So kid throws an easy 100 miles an hour, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He only strikes out 5 per 9. How do you throw that hard and only strike out 5 per 9? He's not a strikeout guy. The ball tends to get into play with him.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something that he will learn, but right now he's not striking guys out, and that's kind of what you were looking for last night. Yeah. He didn't have a good arm to go to.
No.
I wouldn't have let him face Marcell Ozuna. I would have pulled him at that point. And the reality is Clayton Kershaw has now become a 5-inning pitcher in the postseason.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
He was fine for five innings.
And by the way, 5 innings, especially when he's dealing with back spasms.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
He threw a great five. And the sixth inning is where he gets into trouble always.
He threw a good five. He had a lot of pitches, but he got out of the jams he was in. I would put it that way. I don't think it was great, but I thought it was good enough. Five good innings.
Come on, Grinshaw.
So here's the Clayton Kershaw stats, okay? I saw this today.
Oh,
courtesy
boy.
Of
Here
ESPN
we go. Sassy
stats and info. Courtesy of, yes, on this show, they're sassy stats. On sassy our show, stats. They're called, Momo, do you know the difference? On Mason Ireland, they're called, oh, she dropped?
She dropped. Okay.
So on your show, Mace, they are sassy stats. On our show, we like to call them sexy stats.
Sexy stats. I like that. Sexy stats is good.
Yeah. So
what's your sexy stat?
Clayton Kershaw in the regular season, a winning percentage of 70%, 2.43 ERA. In the wild card or NLDS, a winning percentage of 64%, an ERA, though, of 3.68.
Mm.
All right?
It went up.
In the NLCS, a winning percentage of 33% and an ERA of 4.84 after last night's
game. His ERA went up again.
And then in the World Series, a 33% winning percentage and an ERA of 5.40.
World Series doesn't count. The Astros cheated.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to throw out one game.
That's true. Yeah.
We'll take out that second start in game five of the NLCS in 2017.
But I get it. I get it. Clayton Kershaw's postseason doesn't look like his regular season. I get it. None of that is breaking news. I get it. How come Andrew Friedman didn't prepare for this? How come our closer is still Kenley Jansen, and now we're acting shocked that we can't use him in the ninth? Well, for the last 2 years, we've been asking if he's the guy still.
Well, I mean, here's the issue, though, LZ, with Kenley Jansen. It's kind of like how he's thrown. Like, here's the weird thing. So he's gone 7 straight appearances without allowing a run. He's got he finished the year 10 of 12 in save opportunities. Like, he was good. He was a solid closer during the regular season. We actually haven't been in a closer situation in this game. We haven't had a chance to even use a closer. And I don't think it would be Kenley Jansen necessarily. I think it's going to be one of these other arms. But none of these arms have proved to be trustworthy. Gratterall, Victor Gonzalez, Jake McGee last night, Joe Kelly, all these guys have come up short. And it really does come down to their approach at the plate, because you're right, LZ, no run support for Kershaw at all. And for some reason, they just hacked away at Bryce Wilson's fastball and didn't work the counts very well at all. He ended up only throwing like 60-some pitches, and the Dodgers managed only one hit. Their approach at the plate was terrible last night. And at the same time, Clayton Kershaw, you just don't let him get into the sixth anymore. You can't let a lineup see him for a third time.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's just it. Like, he's had, especially off the injuries, right? Like, I think, or spasms or whatever the hell he had. Look, I just think ultimately, Mace, that part of this too, as we're doing the blame pie, is part of this is just baseball. And I know people get mad when I say that, that it's just baseball. But this is what happens in random series with, short series.
Not for eight damn years.
No, yes, sure. It does. Ask the Braves.
Can you explain to me why everyone else seems to figure out it's just baseball, but for the past 10 years, we can't?
Okay, let me ask you, LZ, the Braves had Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz, okay?
Yeah, and it wasn't just baseball. It was the fact that Maddox was always choking in the postseason.
Oh, I don't
it
know wasn't, about that.
No, it
Maddox
is true.
Maddox was not great in the postseason.
He wasn't as bad as Kershaw is.
The point is that sometimes it's not just baseball. Sometimes you can definitively see what the problem is. The question is whether or not you're going to address it. But Braves never addressed their biggest issue, which was the guys, the three-headed horsemen that they love in a regular season, when it came to the postseason, came to three little ponies. I mean, they needed to make a change.
Greg Maddox's ERA in the postseason is 3.27. It's not that much. I mean, that's higher than his regular season, but that's winnable.
No, that's pretty good, actually.
It's not like Clayton Kershaw, who I gave you the numbers.
By the way, Kershaw, among pitchers who've thrown 100 – this is my sassy stats.
Oh, yeah.
Among pitchers who have thrown 100 innings in the postseason – Clayton Kershaw has the highest ERA.
Yeah.
Just can't argue around that.
And by the way,
that's just a fact.
Before last night, it was the third highest ERA. Now it is officially the highest.
It's going to be number one.
Yeah. But that's part of this is that. It's just the randomness of these short series. And, like, it's funny. LZ, we talked about this a little yesterday. Barry Bonds, say what you want about, the performance-enhancing drugs or whatever. He was a three-time MVP as a stick figure, okay? He was already going to be a guaranteed Hall of Famer before any of that stuff. He had some of the worst postseasons I've ever seen until he finally had a great one. And they still, they found themselves in a situation where he still couldn't win. You know what I mean? So, like, this stuff is just weird sometimes.
Well,
and
here's
here's
the thing that's unfortunate. It's going to happen. And, LZ, let me ask you a question.
And Momo's back, by the way.
Hey, Momo. Were the Washington Nationals the best team in baseball last year?
No.
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
Who won the World Series?
They won the World Series. They weren't the best team in baseball.
Who was the best team the second half of the season?
So, LZ, let me ask you this.
The Washington Nationals started poorly, but by the second half of the season, they were the hottest team in baseball.
It's a different question, though. They were not the best team in baseball.
Right.
If two out of the three chunks of the season, you're number one, I'm going to give you number one.
No. Okay, let me ask you this, LZ. The Eli Manning won two Super Bowls when they went 9-7. Like, are they the best? They won the Super Bowl. But were they really the best team in football that year?
They won the Super Bowl.
I know.
There's
a
randomness to this, though,
exactly.
LZ, that you've got to accept.
Yeah.
There's a luck factor.
Absolutely, there is a luck factor. But there's also some real tangible things you can do to address your shortcomings. And dismissing those shortcomings as it's just baseball, I think, is not very effective. In fact, it's counterproductive. You need to have a real honest assessment in terms of what's really going on besides just luck. Because just simply saying, yeah, we're the best team in baseball, we've just been unlucky for 10 years, isn't really going to fly.
But they weren't the best team in baseball for 10 years. They were not the best team in baseball until, three years
ago. Yeah, I mean, there were certain years where we were good. We won the division, we weren't the best team in baseball.
I think sometimes we conflate best record with best team.
Over 162-game sample, that's the pretty good way to determine it.
Man, we didn't play no damn body this year, man. And we all knew it.
This year's different.
No. And we all knew we didn't play anybody this year. And if you look at some of the previous years, maybe we've been getting a little too fat on our division and not paying close enough attention as to how we're winning games against teams that are our equal in terms of talent. I don't think we've been real honest about ourselves. I know personally, I've been doing a lot of wishful thinking. I've been sitting here saying, you know what? This is the year. Why? Because it's time. But that doesn't make any damn sense. It's not just time. You have to go out and actually earn it and tweak it and continue to develop and work on the things that's your shortcomings.
But what do you do, LZ, if, and I, the bullpen is a huge question. The bullpen was effective during the regular season.
They were.
I mean, if you look at the regular season numbers, those guys were really effective, and all of a sudden, they all have seemed
to
lose.
I just told you, they didn't play anybody this year, man. What did they have, like 15 games against winning teams? 15 games against winning teams. So there's a sexy stat for you.
And Oakland is good.
Yeah, Oakland's good.
Houston finished with a less than 500 record. Like, you got to look at this factor. It's like, yes, we've got great numbers, but who do we get those numbers against? When did those hits
come?
Yeah,
but I mean,
when did those hit? I am being fair.
Last year, we won 105 playing everybody. How can you suggest that we didn't really earn the spot that we're in? We won 105 games last year.
No. Stop looking at the 100. Look at who you lost to and ask yourself why. That's how you get better. That's how you get better, man. You don't get better by looking what made you successful.
But
you
players
get better.
Play. That's the problem. Players gotta play.
All right, you keep on your little string, and then next year this time, when you talk about it's just baseball, we can have this conversation again, or you can listen to me and blow some stuff up.
Look, LZ, I can say this as someone who's grew up a Yankee fan. And look, they had a great stretch from 96 to 2000 or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Then they had a great team. They bring in Alex Rodriguez, who was the best player in the sport, okay, to a team that was already championship caliber and didn't win for years until that one year in 2009. This stuff in baseball isn't like football or basketball specifically. Momo, I know, wanted to jump in. Basketball, the better team
wins.
90% of the time wins. That's not the case in baseball.
Yeah.
But if you had an honest assessment and asked yourself, why did A-Rod not perform well in the postseason, he told you. Basically, he was letting you know I was putting too much pressure on myself, i.e. I was choking in the postseason.
Right, but not everybody else was around and was choking, and they still didn't win. Like, it's a team sport. Go ahead, Mom. I'm sorry.
It's baseball.
Look, when they lost to the Red Sox, it was obvious that the Red Sox were better. Right?
Yes, way better.
And
yes,
one of the things that I think we all looked at was we said, look, they were better, and they had – four or five guys who came out of the bullpen throw a 99, okay? So the Dodgers went and got some of those guys, all right? And we got Joe Kelly threw 99.
Yeah, Joe Kelly was one of the guys that beat us in the 2018
World Series.
The one thing
that I think that...
Correct.
Yeah, when the Dodgers lost to the Nationals last year, what did they notice? The Nationals had three frontline starters.
Yes.
They had Strasburg, they had Scherzer, they had Corbin.
Right.
The Dodgers actually were supposed to have that. They were supposed to have David Price, Clayton Kershaw, and Walker Buehler. That was supposed to be their adjustment. It just didn't happen. David Price didn't play, and Walker Buehler got blisteritis or whatever he's got. Like, he's got
that's
some
crappy
kind of
luck.
Thing.
Yeah.
That it's prevented him from having.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, so I don't know if I say run it back. I do like the idea of going after Trevor Bauer. I like that
a lot. I like the idea of going after Francisco Lindor.
But they did try to make those – they did try to make those adjustments. It just didn't work this year.
Right.
I just feel as if, well, one, I agree partly with what you're saying, Momo, though I think the David Price being in that category, I think is a little overstated because we all felt as if he was a throw-in that we were hoping would be resurrected. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a guaranteed lights-out ace that, you know, was going to be.
No, but he's a third pitcher. He had unbelievable postseason success against us in 2018, so he's got postseason experience.
No, I know he's got postseason experience. My point is that we knew that Mookie was the prize and that David was the add-on. And so aces aren't add-ons. And so we already knew going after the trade that while he may be able to eat up some innings, we shouldn't expect him to go out and be lights out because we viewed him as the add-on. But even beyond that, I think it's about not talent always. Sometimes it's about the dog in you. Yeah. And I don't know if we got enough dogs in that clubhouse, and we haven't had enough dogs in that clubhouse during this run. And I think that ultimately is what I'm talking about. like needing some dog, not just talent, but dogs.
I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, for me, like, we're talking about toughness. We're talking about playing well and stepping up in the biggest moments when all the pressure is on. That's when you find out who is really a champion.
Yes, and that's why when you ask me if the Giants were the best team, yes, because when it got the most pressure, their dogs showed up. So while they may not have had the stats and they may not have had all the numbers of the regular season, those are the hallmarks of how you would normally identify a great team. When it comes to winning time, do you have enough dogs that are able to make plays? Do you have enough dogs who aren't going to break under pressure like the Atlanta Falcons? Talented as hell. Clearly, no dogs on that squad.
Well, we're going to find out, right? Dogs. We're down 3-1. We're going to find out if there are any dogs tonight.
All right, we're going to find out how many dogs we have. But before that, we got to run, right? Because we got to do a show.
We'll be back on Monday.
Yeah.
Monday is our virtual parade.
Oh, yeah, virtual parade. Yes. What hour are you doing, Mace?
I'm doing the 1 o'clock hour.
I'm doing the 3 o'clock hour.
LZ?
I'm
doing 5.
I'm still Loma's trying to figure out what I'm wearing. You guys are talking about when you're going to be on.
Yeah, that's Monday. We're excited about it. Yeah. So, George, have a good show. What do you guys got coming up?
We are going to, clearly, a lot more of what you just heard here. Like, LZ and I will probably go at it a little bit.
Nice.
And we've got some
a lot of dogs.
Really, a lot of dogs. We got a disturbing Alex Wood quote, though, that we need to get to.
Okay, good.
I don't know if you've heard that quote.
No.
Yet.
All right.
Oh,
I'm gonna keep listening so I can
hear that. Dodger fans are not going to be happy with Alex Wood.
Okay, got it. Yeah.